Hello there, weary traveler. Welcome to the inn. Sit, sit, rest your feet. Why, it's a long journey on the road to Tarvalon. Have a cup of tea, or maybe a frothy ale. The light, why, you're just in time for the entertainment. Here are your hosts, Tracy and Amber.
Hello and welcome back. I am here with my good friend Tracy.
I'm here with my delightful friend Amber.
And this is the Road to Tarvalon podcast today, talking about a Forsaken movie.
Right? You got that too, right?
That's what I got. Okay, so background details would be important. So we have an announcement by Deadline, and it's since been picked up by other news reports, that Carrie Skoglund is set for a Wheel of Time Origins movie, and this will be the second that we've known. We've had the previous release information of the White Tower animated young adult movie, and this one will be a live action Forsaken Age of Legends movie. Now, both of these two projects that I just spoke of have been written by Zach Stentz. The screenplay is by Zach Stentz, who has a bigger background in some X-Men type stuff. And Carrie Skoglund has also worked in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So It makes sense. I can kind of see what they're doing here, grouping people like this up together.
I wanted to ask you, because you usually know more about things like this than I do, like how you felt about them as choices. I think the only thing that I've seen that Carrie Skoglund has touched is maybe Handmaid's Tale. And I love that.
I am not a fan of Handmaid's Tale, but she has also done Boardwalk Empire, which for HBO, ooh, that won a lot of awards. I liked The Killing, Walking Dead.
Wait, The Killing?
Mm-hmm.
Which one? Is that the one that has, that's like set in Seattle?
I want to say Pacific Northwest. It has, I believe it's a missing girl.
Yes. I've seen that. It's very good.
Has Joel Kinnaman in it, the guy who was in, he's been in a lot of stuff. He's great.
But he was in that one show, Altered Carbon. Was that the one that you had suggested to me? When I saw him as the actor and then I was like, okay, I'll watch him. Mm-hmm. I really like him. I like him a lot.
She's also done Vikings. She worked on House of Cards. Like, she's done a lot of good stuff. And I think it's funny because, like, the one thing it lists on here, it's like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I'm like, oh, sorry, never seen it. But a lot of these other things I have.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know who that is. And then when I started like looking a little further, I was like, okay, I've seen at least like one of the things that she's done. And
right,
I mean, overall, but I mean, now that you're listing all these things off, like I've seen The Killing and it was really good.
I loved it. I thought it was really good too.
Mm-hmm. My only complaint with it was the portrayal of rain in the Pacific Northwest. It doesn't rain like that there. It's not that heavy. But that was about it. Other than that, I really enjoyed it.
Okay, so looking at all of this stuff, I guess we should talk a little bit more about this project. So this movie will be set several millennia before the timeline of the books, Age of Legends. If you're listening to our podcast, you probably know exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm. We hope.
This will be pretty much focusing on the backstory of the Forsaken, the once honored leaders who fell to the Dark One's seduction, each personifying distinct elements of human weakness and ambition. So looking at some of these other shows that she's done, the ones that I recognize at least, I would say that there is a theme here of darker elements, but not necessarily R-rated. We've got gory things. We've got some real dramatic, suspenseful things. I'm thinking House of Cards was very, very well-known drama. But Handmaid's Tale, very dark. I mean, that for me leans more into like the torture porn category.
Absolutely.
So like it's absolutely very dark.
It's very dark. Like that was one of the things I was thinking about when I saw that association between the two, like the director and that show, because that show is dark, dark. Like, and it's not even necessarily just like the torture aspect of it. It's also like the way that it's filmed, the way that it, like the lighting and everything is done. There's so much about it that makes it like, I don't know. I think it's a really, really, really well done show, but it is also like emotionally abusive.
Right.
It's not a light one to right. ever watch through. I have to take big steps in between like potential rewatches.
Right. In regards to this movie, what I think is interesting is it almost feels like a bit of a disconnect between screenplay and producer, if that makes sense. Because the stuff that she's done, like we've said, like a lot of this is very mature adult stuff, maybe except, I don't know about Falcon and Winter Soldier, but a lot of this other stuff does have a lot of very mature themes. But the screenplay writer, Zach Stentz, I mean, like looking at what he's done, Thor, X-Men, First Class, Jurassic World, Camp Cretaceous, it feels a lot more light.
Yeah.
I know the first Thor is like fairly light as well. Like it's nowhere near in the realm of what you could consider feeling in the same way of like the backstory of the Forsaken, in my yeah. opinion. Looking at what she's done, I mean, that gives me some hope. Like I'm down with a lot of the projects that she's attached to. Zach Stentz, we know a lot less about. I'm a lot less familiar with him. I've seen some of the things he's done, but hopefully, you know, something actually comes of this and it's not kneecapped before we get to yeah. see it. So the other bit of information with this article is that it's being developed by iWatt Productions,
yep.
which is the creators of the infamous Winter Dragon. So I know a lot of people like to make fun of that. I mean, it is what it is. It was a rights situation. They had to put something out to retain the rights. That's essentially what the Winter Dragon was for. So I know iWatt Productions gets some bad rep because of that, but they're yeah. also connected to the Amazon Prime project yes. as well. So I think this also is some new information that we can take into account as to where Watt Origins went for Prime yeah. Video, because this is prehistory. It's not dealing in the third age, which the television show is doing. And yeah. it might be the case that Prime Video didn't actually have the rights to produce these prehistory Watt Origins episodes. Now, mm-hmm. take this with a grain of salt. This is just a possibility. We don't know anything for sure, but it is curious. It's curious. So does that make sense? iWatt Production would have those rights where Prime Video does not.
Right. Which, I mean, that can always change the direction of what gets made and how it gets made and whatnot. I do appreciate that they're working together. I like that they're, like, in some ways, even though they're going to be separate from, like, what's come out before, like, in like.
Well, I don't think this project has anything to do with Prime Video, so I don't think they're working together at all for this.
I thought I read something that said that there were producers associated with the Prime show that were also going to be.
Yeah, Rick Selvage. Yeah. So there are multiple people, but I think this is also a rights thing. So like,
oh, okay.
Larry Mondragon, like his name is going to be on it because like they own the rights to some material, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Again, take this with a grain of salt. I'm not I'm not 100% in any of this. I do not know like adaptation book rights, not my area of expertise by any means.
You don't research that endlessly.
Right. But look, like I want to jump into like the meat of this, okay?
Yes.
So if we're talking about the Forsaken, this mm-hmm. is obviously of pretty much anything that you could choose for a topic for a movie, this would probably be one of my top picks, specifically mm-hmm. if it's origins into them, you know, swearing their oaths to the dark, like what motivated them to join, and then a bit of the war of power when people start choosing sides and fighting begins. I think that would be really, really compelling.
Do you think that that would be like the first movie, or would that be like stretched out across the three movies that they're discussing?
Well, if you're going to write a movie about the Forsaken, right, there has to be a narrative choice for like the direction of it, right? You could tell the backstory to the Forsaken, but like what's the beginning, what's the middle, what's the end, right? Like if you look right. at the pattern of a movie, you've got like a problem, you've got the chaotic bits, and then you've got the climax at the end and like a fulfilling right. ending. So mm-hmm. to me, if you're talking about the Forsaken, the bit that gets you interested is who yeah. are these people and why? Like, why are they doing what they're doing? Mm. What's the yes. motivation here?
Mm-hmm.
Second part, you want action and drama, right? So mm-hmm. is that just going to be the Forsaken?
I was going to say, what do you mean?
Yeah, the middle part would have to be something to like make it interesting, right? Like if it's mm-hmm. just their backstory, who cares? That could be dealt with in 20 minutes. Like you want something to carry through to actually like be entertaining. So like the middle part for me would be infighting between the two different factions, the good guys, the bad guys. The Forsaken are absolutely like the chaos creators of this landscape. So mm-hmm. to me, I think that would be really compelling. Where do they start out? Where's the midpoint at? Like, what's the backbone of the story? Is it just their history, or is it why they joined and their climb to power? And I think that climb to power is like the interesting bits because that's where the action is. And that is the war of power. Did that answer your question?
Yes. But it also prompted another question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So do you think, like, if we're going to build up this backstory for the Forsaken, I mean, there are so many of them. Do you think that we would have another situation where the number of Forsaken are reduced? Or maybe a whittling down, like maybe there's just a bunch of them, like, and then it comes down to these, what is it, 13 Forsaken?
I think it'll be all of them. It has to be all of them.
Yeah.
What's the quote here? Hold on. This film is not just an adaptation. It's an exploration of the original world that blends fantasy with elements of science fiction. So like mm-hmm. they're saying it's not an adaptation. We're going by the books here. We're exploring the original work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a ton of original work on The Forsaken, which is actually right. kind of nice in my opinion, because you have the spine of their story, right? Like what they did, their mm-hmm. occupation, why they joined. Mm-hmm.
So many of those, like, because one of the things that I read in their description of kind of what to expect as far as feel is, like, I saw the word science fiction and I was like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm thinking in particular of how Age of Legends relied almost more on science than on channeling. Like, it was cool that you could channel, but it wasn't like the end all be all because their tech was so good. So I think kind of blending that, and I mean, especially for audiences that have now watched Wheel of Time, the TV show, and it is definitely a fantasy series. It will be so, like, I love the idea of them being opposite but the same. Like, that's one of the best things about Wheel of Time, is that they're science fiction.
I guess the other option that they could do here is, I don't think I would like this as much because it feels like a slow roll, like a part one. Mm. Like, if this is something that they're hoping can become a series, they could very obviously play up this whole everything was a utopia back then. And then, like, you have these people, and now all of a sudden, not a utopia. They've sworn for the dark, and then they cut it short before the real action happens. That would be disappointing, in my opinion.
Would it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because, like, you want more action than that?
Well, I mean, like, what is the story about if it's just them deciding, hey, we're bad guys, and then they end it there?
I think that there is room for there still to be, like, that internal drama and conflict as the individuals who become the Forsaken become the Forsaken. I'm with you on not necessarily, like, being the utopian version. Like, I don't really know how I feel about that, if they would take that direction. But I do kind of like the idea of it being, I guess, a little slower, a little bit more emotionally compelling, possibly. But I honestly don't know.
But what would the story be? You're saying emotionally compelling. Like, what would be emotionally compelling for you? Like, what type of story does that look like to you?
I guess I'm thinking about how, like, we have Luz Theron and... it's Marin, right? What's Lanfear's actual name? Whatever Lanfear's actual name is, like, we have their story and how that falls apart and what it becomes. And we have Forsaken, who had been, like, the world's greatest healers. And so what does that look like in the Age of Legends? And then that switch from someone who has, like, I feel like if it was their backstory woven around what drives them eventually to swear to the dark, there's so much room for politics and drama. And I mean, there's even room for sword fighting, because that's one of the things, is like, they had games basically that were sword fighting because nobody apparently was violent. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the problem for me is I keep thinking about Rings of Power.
Yeah.
And how that whole season, like, look, all that time we spend just to get to the end where it's like, and ta-da, we have a bad guy, right?
Yeah.
In the sense of it being a movie, I don't know if I want to watch, you know, what, an hour to 2 hours of just Forsaken coming to the realization that they're actually not good people, or, like, sliding down that slope of, like, this landscape isn't for us. Let's be evil now. All right. Group hug.
Group hug.
We've done it. Because if that's the case, I mean,
high fives, everyone.
I could see them doing it if this is a series they're planning, where, like, this is going to be part one of a 2-part or 3-part movie. But if that's the case, I just don't know if there's enough information there to really, like, pull someone in who isn't a big fan of the series. Like, why should we care about these people? Like, what? There's interesting, look, there's really interesting facts about all of these people. But in the time frame of a movie, I don't know how much you can really explore that. So I would be worried of it, like, getting canceled before you get part two. So I just want part one to be, like, knock your socks off and, you know, like, I want it to be intense.
That definitely feels like a good audience draw. Everybody knows my opinion of Rings of Power, and I certainly would not want to see that treatment to the Wheel of Time, especially after the second season has come out, and I feel like it's really finding its teeth and, like, giving us a really good show. I would want whatever comes out to kind of be heightened, even, because it's a movie. I guess I just expect more from movies.
I think I tend to expect less because it's just, like, it's so quick.
Oh, okay.
You've got this amount of time, and you got to tell that story. So what's the beginning? What's the hook? What draws you in? What's the reason you stay in your seat and don't turn it off halfway through? And what's the finale? Like, what's the ending? How can you make it end in a way that's so good that you're like, I'm going to recommend that to people?
Yeah.
If any of those fall short, then it's scary.
Well, and it does say that this looks like, it says it's the first installment in the planned trilogy of films. So it looks like they're planning on making three films. Do you think they would do that?
The trilogy of Age of Legends, they've already released the announcement of two. The first one is the White Tower animated.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was like a pulled together thing. I didn't realize they were all like
separate.
Kind of separate from each other. Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, sure. So does that make a little bit more sense why I'm saying like...
It really does. Yeah, thank you. Because I was like, but if they have three movies, like we can Lord of Rings this and be like not Rings of Power, but like Lord of Rings where it's like kind of the...
Yeah, yeah.
Each one gets a bit more intense and into the end of the story and allows for lots of room for expansive moments and whatnot. But if it's only one movie, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Do you think that they would make it and be offered a second movie to it?
It's possible. I mean, I guess it all depends on how well this does. I think the thing is, though, is that there's enough there, like within this world, to make more movies. I just don't know if this one topic, The Forsaken, if it's enough time to do, like, you know, all of them in one go. But also, like, I don't think it's enough to really do a whole, like, television series on, unless, you know, it was like, you can't do, like, one Forsaken every season because then you're,
right,
the timeline is a little bit off, but... I don't know. This other quote says, it's talking about peeling back the layers of legend and myth to reveal the flesh and blood characters underneath, flawed heroes and villains alike. Ordinary people forced to make extraordinary choices as their world unravels. Man, if that does not sound like the blurb for a Marvel movie, I don't know what else does. This is going to be very, very Marvel, I feel like.
Yeah, they have a good following.
Yeah, so. I'm trying to think of the flawed heroes. Luce Theron, I guess. I don't know. The other question is, this is the thing that really, like, got me spinning, is now that I've seen, you know, Natasha O'Keefe as Lanfear or Ferris Ferris as Ishamael, it's going to be very difficult to picture other people for these roles.
Exactly. I've been thinking about that too. And also, like, the look in some ways that's been established for the Age of Legends. I really love that super clean, bright look that's kind of come across from the Age of Legends in the TV show. It's kind of how I pictured it in my head. But I'm with you where I'm like, but now I've gotten new head canon, where this is what this person looks like. And now how are you going to change what they look like? And it'll be interesting to see what kind of casting choices get made.
Right, right. I think, too, another thing is just now I'm so familiar with the set design, how things look, with the costuming, stuff like that. When they change it, it's going to be like, oh, wow, this is different. You know, will I like it more? Will I like it less? I firmly believe that more is better. Like, more good TV is better. More adaptation, more stuff brought in from the books I love. It's a good thing. You want it to be great. You want it to be amazing. But I'm also not as jaded or naive to be like, it has to be Game of Thrones level. I'm so sick of everyone saying, like, oh, like, the next Game of Thrones, it's got to be like Game of Thrones. Like, things can be different. Things can be good. They don't need to be compared to Game of Thrones all the time.
Right.
I personally don't know if there will ever be another show that has gripped the masses like Game of Thrones did. I will be very happy, you know, if another show comes along and does that same thing. But I want to be non-judgmental because we don't know enough details yet. And I really hope that this is a good thing. But also, I totally would understand where people are kind of like, I don't know, like a little bit worried about it. I think for me, like what falls into this, like Marvel Cinematic Universe, is when you go into universe type stuff, like Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, right? Marvel does it with everything. Star Wars does it with everything. Now all the Disney stuff is grouped together. It's in its own cinematic universe.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But at the same time, like I want each project to be good enough so that we can get more. I don't want them to just start throwing stuff at the wall and doing whatever they can. And if one fails, then like someone pulls the plug and they're like, yeah, we're done with that. No more. You know, like I want it to be really at least good enough that we get more from the Wheel of Time, more from this story that I care about and enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, really seriously, the source material is huge. I really loved seeing the quote in here where it was, my vision is to honor the world building of Jordan's masterwork. But I loved that because that is one of the things that I love so much about the Wheel of Time, is like, there's Shara. You could do shit on Shara if you wanted to.
Yeah, it just depends on if we're doing. So to me, it seems like if we're doing stuff that's not covered in the main series, then it goes to IWAT. But if we're doing something that takes place within the 13 or 14 books, you know, New Spring included, then it goes to Prime Video. So like, that's what it seems like to me.
Okay, but like, okay, so I have a question. Since those things are like in different, they're hosted, I guess is a good word, by different entities, can the two work together in the future? Like to be, like you said, like Disney with Star Wars, like.
As long as the production company owned all the rights, as long as all the rights were under one group.
One production company. Okay. Huh.
Unless there's a glaring, like very obvious reason I'm wrong, but.
No. I think that you're right. I'm just thinking about how that complicates it.
But I do think War of Power, I think that's my ideal. We get the Forsaken. We get, you know, their backstory, who they were before they're, or while they're announcing sides.
I would honestly really love to see those.
Oh, it would be great. I think that's the most interesting part of the story, because you have the territories that are being held like in the name of the Dark One, and you've got all of these really depraved things going on depending on which one of the Forsaken is in charge of which area,
which territory.
I don't know, like there's people like Asmodian like handing his mother over to Imradral. Like there's some really dark stuff in the history of these people.
Yes.
So I'm also wondering, you know, like how far are they actually going to take it?
I wrote that question down.
Is this going to be PG-13? Is this going to be R-rated? It is not common at all for stuff like this to be R-rated. Like I remember when Deadpool was like the first R-rated, I guess, movie in the franchise that was rated R, but it did great. Like it did really well. I just don't know if they feel confident to do something like that. I just think that looking from, you know, looking at Kerry Skoglund's stuff, Vikings was pretty brutal, pretty bloody, gory, you know, lots of torture, like legit torture, not like, not psychological torture, but, you know, very disturbing things. And these are the type of characters, the Forsaken, that's who we're talking about. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you can really, like, rein it in that much to make it.
Like PG-13?
I don't know. Like, it's a dark story. I hope they are ready to pull some punches. I hope they're not scared of taking it there, taking the material there. I'm very curious to see what the screenplay looks like because, man, Zach Stentz, like he just, I don't know, maybe I don't know enough about some of the projects that he's worked on, but a lot of it is for younger audiences where I'm like, does he have it in him? Does he, is he, you know, really ready to like roll up his sleeves and let's,
Get messy.
yeah, we'll see. 'Cause I think this producer has it in her. Like, I think there's no problem there, but I don't know what the screenplay looks like. It's interesting, though.
Yeah, that was something that I was thinking about, was like, how far will they take it? So often your source material can be as dark as the author can take it. And in order to be able to be more mass appealing, it gets diluted before it comes to
Yeah,
the big
exactly.
screen. I don't want that. Like, I want The Forsaken to be The Forsaken. It's too often in the book series where I'm like, I just don't feel as afraid of them as I feel like I should be, especially when you dig into their individual histories and how horrible they are, where I'm like, I should be way more afraid of them. But they don't have that same effect, I feel like, in the main series. It'd be really cool if they could just be like, this is why they're so fucking scary. This is why.
I love Ishamael and Lanfear in the adaptation for Prime Video. I was incredibly, like, happily surprised at how much I liked Lanfear, who's not a character from the books that I'm a big fan of. And I will say, though, that they made her very playful, but like dark and playful. Like, she'll pop someone's head off. But it's like done at a distance. Like, it's not like an episode of The Boys, which is fine for me. And I think, you know, with this Forsaken adaptation, they could probably do something similar. But look, like Wheel of Time, the TV show, it's not rated R. So, like, it can be done. Like, you can take it in a kind of gruesome direction. But I would hope that since this is a story that's mainly about the Forsaken, they gotta amp it up a little bit more than Prime Video.
Yeah, if you're going to make them the focus, give them their full story. It is interesting to me that there's this choice, it seems like, to be portraying the Forsaken in a way, like for Prime Video, we've talked about like how different and fun the Forsaken feel in the show. And now we're going to be doing a movie that's the Age of Legends, and instead of it having Luz Theron as the main character, it's going to be the Forsaken. And it's interesting to me that the villains are the ones, the villains. I'm going to put that in quote. No, I'm not going to put that in quotation marks. They're terrible villains. The villains are the ones that are getting like the main story. I mean, for this movie. And they're like the way that they affect the TV show is just really fun. What you said about Natasha O'Keefe playing Lanfear, her facial expressions just get me. She's so good. She's so good. I just don't know how you're gonna get another actress who's gonna feel like Lanfear for me now. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have too much, you know, considering we don't have a lot of information here. It's mostly like hopes. Hopes and wishes.
And here we send them out to the universe.
Yeah. I want to know, people who are listening, let us know. Is this something that you're excited about? Something you're apprehensive about? Cautious about? I can understand all three.
Yeah, same. I was gonna say, I feel like I fit into that, all of that.
But also let us know what your thoughts are in terms of what type of story you want to see with this. What story is this going to tell? Do you think it'll be something like The War of Power, or will it be something a little bit more straightforward in terms of like bad guys, origin story? That's it.
Sounds so
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. Or you know what? It could be something totally different, Tracy. It could be an event, like just one single event taking place, like Luz Theron's 99 companions, like going to war. The breaking of the world. We don't know. We don't know.
It's funny because, like, I'm in two places where it's like, I don't think that there's a whole lot about the Age of Legends that they could do that could, like, stretch out into multiple movies. But then when I actually start to sit and think about it, I'm like, no, wait, I think that there probably is. I think that there probably is. At least maybe two.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you're splitting it up into two, then you have this problem of what's the middle part, what's the climax, what's the ending, you know? Like,
yeah,
it might be more engaging if you condense it into one story versus break it up into two. Because you don't want, like, a weird cliffhanger, right? Where it's like, well, okay, so we saw who they are, and then you cut it off at this kind of awkward point.
No, you're right. You're right. There's so much for them to choose from. It'll be interesting to see what makes it in and what doesn't.
Yeah. I'm excited, though. I'm excited, though.
So should
we wrap it up there and leave it up to our lovely listeners to give us your feedback? And thanks for listening, and we will see you back next time.
Goodbye.